Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. On June 28th, the Democratic Party in the 24th Congressional District will be holding a primary to determine who will run on the party line in November against Republican incumbent John Katko. It's been identified by political analysts as a likely very competitive race in a year in which the party control of the House of Representatives may be in contention. My guests today are the three candidates running in that primary. Each of them has appeared individually on the program in the past. They are Steve Williams, an attorney in Syracuse, Colleen Deacon, a former staffer for Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and Eric Kingson, a professor at Syracuse University. The 24th District includes all of Cayuga, Onondaga, and Wayne counties, and the western part of Oswego County. Our conversation today will be split over 2 weeks. We will air the second half next week, and I expect to be speaking on air with Congressman Katko soon after that. Steve, Eric, Colleen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us, Grant.
Well, let me start with the most basic and central question. Only one of you can run as a Democrat against John Katko in the general election. And Steve, let me start with you with this. What's the most important thing that distinguishes you from your two Democratic opponents in this primary?
Well, thank you, Grant. I wish I could say there was one thing, but there are several. Number one, you know, I'm the only veteran running in this race, whether it be considering these folks here or John Katko. I'm the only one who served in the military. I was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. I served 8 years. I was on active duty for 5 years. I think that's important in today's day and age when our national security is at stake. Secondly, I'm the only person running who's got private sector experience. I run a small business. And that's also important because small businesses are now the lifeblood of our community. We've lost all these giant manufacturers, and we're dependent upon small businesses. And, you know, thirdly, Grant, you know, everybody else in this race is backed by some national political establishment organization. Every single person. Colleen's backed by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Eric's backed by the Democracy for America organization. John's backed by the Republican National Committee. These are national organizations. I haven't sought, nor do I want, their backing because I want to be serving solely the interest of this district. And you know what? That's resonating with the folks of this district, and that's why my campaign is surging, because I'm beholden to nobody but the people in this district.
I want to come back to that issue of endorsements later, but let me stick with this first basic question. Colleen, what distinguishes you from your two Democratic opponents?
Well, I think first and foremost, the work that I've done in this region. I've been on the ground. I've been rolling up my sleeves for the past 12 years, fighting hard for the people of this district. And I understand what our challenges are. You know, I've worked with our veterans community to connect them to job opportunities. I've worked to help fight against unfair trade practices and keep jobs here in this region. I've worked with our seniors to help them avoid financial scams and financial fraud. I've been doing the work here for a long time, and I want to take that experience to Congress to continue to fight hard for the people of this district. And furthermore, I think my own personal story of somebody who, when I was just out of college, I was waiting tables for a living, and my job did not come with health care or sick time. So when I became pregnant with my son, I had to rely on Medicaid because I didn't have health insurance, and I had to go on food stamps and WIC to keep us healthy after my son was born. So I know what it's like for the many families that are struggling across this district and across the country. And I want to bring that perspective to Congress. It's not a unique experience, but it's a perspective that's not represented in Congress. You know, how many members of Congress can actually say they've had to use the programs that they're voting on? That's what I want to bring to Congress. My experience, my perspective, and my ideas, and really represent the people of this district.
And Eric, let me ask the same question to you then. What distinguishes you from your two Democratic opponents?
Thank you. To begin, I have experience. I have experience which has changed national policy affecting everyone in this district. 152,000 people who receive Social Security benefits would have had their benefits cut if the organization I co-founded, Social Security Works, did not exist. We're located at the AFL-CIO in Washington. We're very closely connected to labor, women's organizations, disability, and the like. So I can say I've done something, not that I want to do something. And I want to take that same determination and put it into a variety of issues. High cost of pharmaceuticals for American families and for Central New York families. Other distinctions. I'm the only one who will say unequivocally, I support Medicare for all, and I think of a way to do it. I'm the only one who will say I will not accept corporate money, win or lose. Well, win the primary, I will not accept it. Our campaign finance system is a disaster. We all have to stand up, both individually and collectively, to change it, or we're going to lose our democracy. I'm the only one who will unequivocally say our nation needs to deal with a dramatic set of changes. Well, I won't say I'm the only one. I am very clear that our children's democracy is at risk. Trump and Cruz in particular are dangerous human beings. It's distressing that anyone would hesitate on saying they will not support them. John Katko has not said he will not support them. He's playing his middle-of-the-road game. Very clear. We have to draw a line on that. We have to get a lot of young people involved. I'm also the only one who endorses Bernie Sanders, though I will be delighted to work for Hillary if she is the nominee.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the three candidates vying for the Democratic nomination for New York's 24th congressional district, which will be decided in a primary on June 28th. The seat is currently held by Republican John Katko. So each of you in different ways talked about your own experiences as what you see as distinguishing you. And Eric, you sort of moved from there into talking about some policy positions. That's what I wanted to ask the three of you again about next, because even though I'm going to get into specific policies in the conversation that we'll have next week, I wanted to give you each a chance here to encapsulate what you think are the most important policy differences that distinguish you from your two opponents. So, Colleen, let me start with you with this. What separates your policy positions from your opponents? Are there important differences there that you see?
Yeah, I would say paid family leave is an issue that I want to be a champion for. You know, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, my struggle when I had my son, not having the option for paid family leave. I want to go to Congress and really fight hard to have a policy in place that helps businesses, that helps employees, and helps families.
Now, are you saying, I want to be really clear because I'm looking for differences here. Are you saying that your two opponents don't support paid family leave?
Well, I can tell you that Steve, I know his position has evolved with paid family leave over the course of this campaign, and I think that's been a valuable part of the discussion.
Well, that's false, but I'll respond to that.
Well, no, yeah. We'll get there. Go ahead.
Anyway, I want to be a champion for paid family leave. That's something that I personally struggled with, and I personally know firsthand what it's like, and I will go to Congress. You know, since I kicked off this campaign, that is something that I've been talking about and I've been a strong supporter of. I would say the student loan interest rate is another issue that I really, really want to focus on. As somebody who literally just paid off their student loans last March, I know what it's like for the many graduates who are having to go into this economy with very limited job opportunities and having to be straddled with student loan debt on their back. So that's something I want to go to Congress and fight really hard to make sure that we're reducing the interest rates or fighting hard to do everything we can so students aren't in these tough situations after they graduate from college.
Okay. Eric, same question to you. But again, I want to emphasize, I'm looking for your sense of the difference between you and the other two candidates.
Okay. I have been a champion for paid family leave for many years. I have worked on caregiving beginning in the 1980s. I have the experience of having seen the evolution of caregiving as an important public issue as opposed to a private expectation of women, a public issue we have to invest in. I've written about it. I'm on record. I've been doing it for a long time. Differences, I would say that I differ on, well, I mentioned Medicare for All. I don't hear either of them saying it. I differ with Steve very strongly. He opposes the Hyde Amendment being repealed, the amendment that stops low-income women from receiving the same choice to have to bring a child to term or not. I strongly support the repeal of it. Steve has some kind of idea, oh, it's going to kill family leave. It's going to kill Planned Parenthood politically. It's hooey. The same week he said that, Planned Parenthood endorsed Hillary, who favors eliminating the Hyde Amendment, and it's a major plank in the Planned Parenthood proposals. I have worked, again, I've worked nationally with many organizations, many members, and that's something I bring that I don't think others have. And I've had experience beginning with the Civil Rights Movement, then working in communities, and then teaching young men and women, and some older men and women too, probably 400 or 500 in central New York in the 19 years I've been at Syracuse University.
Okay. And then, Steve, again, same question here. What distinguishes your policy positions from your other two opponents? And you have a response, apparently, you want to make also about the paid leave. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely, Grant. First, let me say this. You know, I've been appearing at forums with these folks for about 6 or 7 months, and quite frankly, there's very little that distinguishes us on policy issues. Now, Colleen has tried to fabricate some kind of difference between her and me on paid family leave. It's her effort to do that is disingenuous at best. I've been in favor of paid family leave for years. The trick is to pick the right plan, the plan that works the best. She knows that. That's a false distinction. You know, but what really distinguishes me is I'm the only independent person here. I'm the only person who's going to be working for just the people of this district. I will be beholden to no national organization. Now, Eric brought up the Hyde Amendment. Let's be clear on that, okay? I'm pro-choice, and I defend Planned Parenthood. You know, I was at a Planned Parenthood rally after the Planned Parenthood in Colorado was attacked. But the fact of the matter is that if you apply or don't apply the Hyde Amendment to certain legislation, it will not pass. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Affordable Care Act only was able to pass because President Obama got the support of some conservative Democrats who would not have supported it but for the application of the Hyde Amendment. And just so the listeners are clear what we're talking about, the Hyde Amendment prevents federal tax revenue from being spent on abortions. So the Affordable Care Act would not pass unless they applied the Hyde Amendment to it. Planned Parenthood would not be funded but for the Hyde Amendment. So, you know, people need to be careful about applying that or not applying it because it's going to make legislation fail that everybody at this table, I think, is in favor of. I think everybody's in favor of the Affordable Care Act here. I mean, you can ask them, but I think they are.
We just have about a minute before the break. Colleen, I want to give you, though, a chance to respond on this paid family leave issue briefly.
Sure. So as I mentioned, you know, I've been talking about paid family leave since I got into this race in October. And I know Steve, you know, his position has evolved. He was at the Auburn Rotary Club meeting where he was talking about how the devil is in the details. Well, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, if we don't have somebody who wants to go to Congress and be a true champion for paid family leave, then we might as well just send John Katko back to Congress. So, I mean, Steve, He's walked his comments back, and that's good. But I'm glad that he's evolved. But he was not originally supportive of paid family leave.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Colleen Deacon, Steve Williams, and Eric Kingson. They are vying to challenge incumbent Republican John Katko on the Democratic Party line for New York's 24th congressional district. The party's primary is June 28th. Eric, I want to come back to something you mentioned, and Steve also commented on in a different way. You endorsed Bernie Sanders, and you were endorsed by Democracy for America, which is a progressive organization that raises money for Sanders, and your two opponents have endorsed Hillary Clinton. Steve was kind of curious before. You were talking about this, that in framing this kind of as he's partly an established candidate because he's got the backing of this organization, yet Sanders is running as the anti-establishment candidate. So we'll have to sort that out. But Eric, does the fact that you've been endorsed by this Democracy for America and the fact that you endorse Bernie Sanders and your two opponents endorse Hillary Clinton, does that tell voters anything important about your candidacy?
Yes. And I should also add National Nurses United, the major national union for nurses, has endorsed me as well. And there are others that are coming up, and I'm very proud to get them and pleased. But I think the key thing is that the voters have to decide who they want, not politicians in Washington, not organizations. It's up to voters to make that decision. I am not an establishment candidate. I have not spent my life doing anything but working on social policy. I've worked on economic security forever.
Let me jump in and push you a little bit. Does the association with Sanders, the endorsement of Sanders, does that tell voters something important?
Absolutely. It tells them I support Bernie's agenda generally. I'm a strong Democrat, It tells them what it doesn't. They don't know, but I've worked with Bernie. We worked to stop cuts to everybody's Social Security. Four or five of us were on the phone with Bernie. I've introduced him. It says something, too. When I say I want to expand Social Security benefits, I know what I mean. What I mean by that, I've built the agenda that Bernie and even Hillary is now using about expansion.
Steve Williams, let me turn to you now and bring up something again that was brought up in the first half of the program. Colleen Deakin has lined up the support of prominent Democratic elected officials in the state and the area, as well as the Onondaga Democratic Committee and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Now, this word's been thrown around a lot this year, and I just threw it around again, the establishment, but she does seem to have the backing of the Democratic establishment here. Why shouldn't that be taken as a signal by Democratic voters about whom they ought to back in the primary?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's very simple, because oftentimes the interest of the national party or the country in general differ from the interest of this district. See, I'm concerned, Grant, about representing the people of this district and what they need, and that doesn't always mirror what the Democratic Party wants, whether it be Nancy Pelosi or Steny Hoyer or any of the other leaders of the party. I'm here to represent the people of this district. And that's why I take great pride, actually, Grant, in not seeking nor getting the endorsement of any of these nationally recognized political establishment organizations.
Well, let me interrupt you on that. So what if Chuck Schumer had come in and said, you know what, I want to endorse Steve Williams? You would have said, no thanks, Senator Schumer?
Probably, yeah, probably, because I can tell you I don't agree with him on everything, and I didn't ask him, and I didn't seek it out. But let's be honest here about what's going on, all right? Colleen's experience is working in Senator Gillibrand's local office. She works for a U.S. senator. That U.S. senator, of course, is going to back her and use her might to get Colleen endorsements. And that's fine, because quite frankly, I don't think the people of this district care about those kinds of endorsements. As Eric pointed out, what we care about are the votes of the people of this district. You know, I had to get 1,250 local Democrats to sign petitions to get me on the ballot. I got close to 3,000 signatures. Those are the things I care about. I care about the fact that after I speak someplace and get my message out, I get very favorable, positive responses. The numbers are very good. The campaign is surging, and it's based solely on grassroots politics.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guests are the three candidates running for the Democratic Party nomination in the 24th Congressional District. Colleen, I imagine you want to respond to that, but I also have a question I want to put to you, so maybe we could fold these two things together. This is a question about John Katko. John Katko has appeared to be very active as a member of Congress. He's taken an active role on committees. He's initiated legislation. He's had some success. He's also seemed to establish a record as a Republican moderate, even sometimes being among a small handful of members voting against measures supported by the rest of his party. So how are you going to make the persuasive case against him in a general election? Why should voters here fire a moderate Republican?
Well, first, I want to go back to the original discussion. You know, I have a lot of support on my campaign. The momentum is building, but it's not just because of, you know, the fact that I worked for Senator Gillibrand's office. It's the work I did in Senator Gillibrand's office, in Mayor Driscoll's office for the past 12 years, fighting hard for this district. You know, people understand that I was helpful. I got things done. And that's what I'm going to continue to do and continue to fight in Washington. So I'm honored and I feel great that I have the support from all of the local, state, and national folks that I do. I think that it's a testament to the work that I've done. But, you know, going further, some of the things that I did while I was in Senator Gillibrand's office and Mayor Driscoll's office, you know, we worked across party lines. When I worked with Republican mayors or Democratic counselors or independent county supervisors, it didn't matter who we were working with. We worked across the aisle, really, you know, just as long as we were getting things done for the people. I mean, I worked very closely with Congressman Richard Hanna, who's a Republican in the Mohawk Valley region. You know, we worked on Blue Water Vets and expanding pre-K together. So those are the things I want to continue to do in Congress. I want to continue to work across the aisle, work within my party, outside of my party, representing the people of the 24th District. That's what I want to do. I mean, you say John Katko's a moderate. I don't think he's a moderate at all. So I think we need to replace him with somebody who's actually going to stand up and fight for things like jobs and the economy. That's the number one issue I've been hearing since I've been on this campaign trail, and John Kako has done nothing to address that issue at all.
We just have a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to give each of the other two candidates, Eric and Steve, a chance to also weigh in on the CATCo issue and anything else that you'd want to say very, very briefly. Eric, let me start with you. Just a minute or so.
Our economy is unsustainably giving money to the most well-off. That's hugely problematic. We have to deal with it. We have to make massive investments in infrastructure for our kids, for businesses, and the next generation. And I don't know if the others would agree. I would finance it with a financial transaction tax and also with raising the minimum – raising the maximum levels of taxation on multimillionaires and billionaires. They owe that. The – in terms of grassroots, my campaign is powered by two people who ran the Bernie Sanders campaign in central New York, and we will have a very strong grassroots. In terms of a agreement – in terms of an endorsement from Mr. Schumer, I have to tell you, I would take it. Even though I disagree with them, I have a hunch Steve would too. And if you want to give it to me, Colleen, go ahead.
All right. Steve, I'm going to give you the last word here just to have about really just a minute. Any thoughts about why we would want to fire a seemingly moderate Republican like John Katko and anything else you want to add?
Well, absolutely. I can tell you because John is not a moderate. He knows that. The only time he votes not in line with the Republican Party is when his vote doesn't count, when they know that the bill isn't going to pass or it's going to pass and get vetoed and they don't have the votes to override the veto. It's nothing but parliamentary trickery. And I think anybody who's a sophisticated voter knows that. And, you know, John's a nice guy. I know John. Our kids played soccer together. But quite frankly, he's wrong on the issues for this district. He doesn't believe in climate change, which is out of touch with the times. He doesn't believe in women's rights. He thinks that people on the terrorist watch list should be able to buy assault rifles. Those are the wrong positions for the people of this district. And, you know, Grant, I've got a long history of taking on tough fights and winning them. You know, I represented union pension funds who lost millions in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme against big special interests. And I won those battles and recovered for those union pension holders. I fought big corporations who weren't paying fair wages to their workers under the Fair Labor Standards Act. And I've won. So I've got a track record of taking on special interests and of service, including my time in the Navy. And that's what's resonating with the people of this district.
We'll have to leave it there for this part of the discussion. That was Eric Kingson, Steve Williams, and Colleen Deacon. The second half of our conversation will air next week, in which we'll cover more specific policy issues. Again, the primary is June 28th. Thanks to the three of you for talking with me.
Thank you, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.